why most people stay discouraged and how to break out of it. That's what we're going to be talking about in today's Speak and Get What You Want podcast with Francis Jones. How you doing, Francis?
I am fantastic. Excited to be here, as always.
It is great to be with you, and it's great to talk about this very subject. And the reason why I've brought this up today is I've been getting comments from people in the community, people that are asking me, Chad, how do I combat discouragement? They look at you and I, and they listen to what we're talking about, Francis, and they'll say, you know what, how do you guys maintain optimism? How do you not remain, or how do you not get discouraged? And so we really want to talk today about how do you not stay, I should say stay discouraged, because I think everyone gets discouraged, right?
Well, that's where I was going to go very first. Like when they say, well, how do you not get discouraged? You don't. Like I've told you the story, and but I had a mentor a number of years ago, and I went to this training and self-help stuff, and it was fantastic stuff. It worked wonders for me. And I remember there was a particular principle that they taught that day. And so I messaged her and I said, oh, Elizabeth, I'm so excited to learn about this principle because now I won't do it. And she's like, that's adorable. She's like, you are going to do it because you're human. Human beings, they do this. What knowing about this means is you're able to pull yourself out of it, right? And so this idea that somehow if I'm a little bit better, if I can be more like Chad or more like Francis or more like this, whoever this really happy person is, then I won't be discouraged. I won't be unhappy. Well, that's ridiculous. The idea that they don't get discouraged is ridiculous. Of course they get discouraged. Now, there are tools that you can employ to pull yourself out of it more easily. But the first thing you have to realize is you're going to get discouraged. Discouragement happens, and it's okay. That's part of who we are.
Well, I love that you bring that up, because sometimes people paint unrealistic pictures about themselves and others. And of course, we live in the most fake world we've ever lived in the history of the world, right? With social media and everyone painting these pictures of what their reality, their quote unquote reality looks like. But really focusing on what you just said, Francis, and accepting the fact that, listen, everyone gets discouraged. Everyone's going to have moments where it's like, I'm in a tough spot. This is frustrating. And I love that you bring up the fact that, listen, just acknowledge the fact that, yeah, I am going to experience discouragement. I am. But I think the key in that statement, though, is not just recognizing that you are going to be discouraged, but how do you not stay discouraged? That's really the question.
Yeah, it is. And I love what you said about that in terms of like the fake and social media. You really have to be careful about that. And that's one of the reasons why depression and among our kids is so high, because they see these ideals of other people and it's really problematic. You know, my wife and I last summer had the opportunity to go to Italy. And so the Trevi Fountain is one of the most famous places in the world, and it is really busy, really crowded. And so we walked around the side to kind of get a view of it. And I see these influencers taking pictures, and then they're like, one of them, she was yelling at the person taking a picture, I don't want all these people in the picture. I want people to think that I'm here by myself. And like, it's totally fake. It's not real. And so the lesson that I learned about that is that you don't look at people as what you think they're experiencing. Don't look at them at their highs or what looked like their highs. Like, follow their example at their lows. Mm. Like, follow their example. Like, what do they do when they get discouraged? Like, what separates people who are successful and who are happy and who are content with life and they're satisfied? And I don't mean satisfied as in not growing. I mean, they're not like always like, oh gosh, like I wish I had this other thing. It's they're able to pull themselves out of this discouragement, because quite frankly, the one word, it's not one word, I guess it's a few words, answer to why we stay discouraged is because it's just easier. Like, it's easy. Once we get in that discouragement, it's much easier to feed it, to stay there, to say, well, of course they passed me over for the promotion. They don't like me, and I'm never going to get ahead. And this always happens to me. It's just easier to run those tapes in your head than it is to say, wait a minute, is it possible that there's something I'm not seeing? Is it possible that there is something else going on that I might not know about? Or is it possible that this is going to give me an opportunity to try something very different, right? A number of years ago, I was working at a company called the Vanguard Group. And they had a program called the Loaned Executive Program. And it was the United Way. They partnered with United Way. And you know me, I love to talk and be in front of an audience. And they would loan out employees who would go to all these local businesses and try and get them to donate to the United Way. And I was so excited. I really wanted to do this. And so after it happened the first year, I went to my boss. I changed departments and I went to my boss and I said, I want to do that next year. And he's like, great, let's work toward it. He's a fantastic boss. Next year rolled around, I submitted my application. He pulled me into his office and he said, they turned you down because you haven't been in this role for a year. It had been 11 months and 2 weeks. And so I was really discouraged. Right. I went home. I was really, really angry. And I really spent some time thinking and meditating and praying because I'm a religious guy. So I was thinking about this and a peace came over me. I'm like, and it said, let it go. Just let it go. And I went to work on Monday and Dean, my boss, was fired up. He's like, I'm going to get this. I'm going to make this happen. And I'm going to figure a way around this rule. And I said, Dean, it's okay. I'll let it, because I was fired up on Friday. And I said, please just let it go. I said, for some reason, I just let it go. I can do it next year, whatever. And he's like, are you sure? I think I can get it done for you. I can make him do it. He had a lot of pull and he's a Philly guy. So he was really tough. He was cool and loved this guy. And I'm like, nope, just let it go. 2 weeks later, an opportunity at a company outside Vanguard presented itself that was a great opportunity for my career and for advancement that I promise you I would not have taken if I had been in the loaned executive program, because I would have loved doing the loaned executive. But it was only for 2 months or 3 months or however long it was. So I would have missed out on this new career step outside the company because of this thing. Now, we're not here to talk about providence and all that stuff. That's not the point. The point is, if you can find a way to look at it differently, man, you can move fast, but you have to find a way to
look at it differently. Yeah, but the key is, and I love that story, but the key is, Francis, you have to be comfortable being you. So when you were at the end of the, you know, you're frustrated, it's the end of the week, it's Friday, you're fired up, but then you got peace with it because you took a moment and really focused on who you are, what you're about, and you're comfortable being you. And I know that it's not easy to just snap your fingers and all of a sudden just say, I'm comfortable being me. But the more you can just be at peace with who you are and really seek to have the confidence in yourself. Because Francis, at the end of the day, you're saying to myself, this didn't work out the way I hoped, but I am confident that things are going to work out and be okay. And when you just pause and really work on being confident with who you are, it will help you propel you out of those phases or stages of discouragement.
Yeah. And what's really interesting about that is I wish I could sit here and tell you, and from that point forward, I always, if you recall my earlier story that I did some self-help stuff that was transformational, was just a few years ago. Vanguard was 20 years ago. So it didn't take, but I what's really shocking to me is that I didn't come back in on Monday morning and second guess my decision. I didn't come back in and let Dean get me riled up, even though it was well-intentioned. Like I held to that and I knew that. And I wish that it had been a longer lasting lesson. I could tell you that I always did that going forward, but I didn't. And I don't now. I still get discouraged. We all do. Like we just said, it's normal. But what you want to do is find people and find the tools that will share their tools or find that has the tools to help you figure out, okay, how can I just step back and walk through this? You know, I have a twin brother. Most of you don't know me, but I have a twin brother and he went through the same kind of transformational stuff. And so he and I will reach out to each other from time to time, even now. And it's been, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, whatever it is. And I'll say, hey, help me get clear on this. Help me make sense of this. Like, here's what I'm feeling. What am I missing about this? And having a thought partner to say, well, it's possible that this is what they meant. Or, yeah, you're being a little bit ridiculous, right? But that requires vulnerability. It requires being open. And what you said earlier, it requires you being you, like, and being okay with yourself and saying, okay, I felt this and now it's time for me to pull myself out of it. And I promise you, the more you do it, the easier it gets. It doesn't mean you won't be discouraged and it doesn't mean that you won't struggle sometimes, but it does get easier.
Well, but you also bring up a very, very important point that I want everyone to really listen to. And that is not staying discouraged or overcoming these challenges of discouragement really comes down to associating with the right people. You referenced your twin brother, Thomas, but it's like, who are you spending time with that is either, because the reality is, Francis, if you went home that weekend and you felt like you were passed over and Rochelle or whoever you were spending time with fed into that discouragement, it actually allows you to sink deeper into that discouragement. You know, one of the people I admire most on this earth is a man by the name of Rainey Rogers. And he's an incredibly successful wealth manager. And he is, my wife, Cassie, always says, notice in his interactions with people. Notice the way that he faces challenges. And Francis, he's always smiling. And he always has almost a form of laughter in his voice. And I shouldn't say laughter, more joy. And regardless of the challenges, regardless of the difficulties he's facing, he's always approaching it with a smile, with joy and happiness, and really finding that joy in the journey. And so for me personally, I'm like, how much time can I spend around this individual? Because if I want to be with them all the time, because not only am I happier when I'm around him, not only do I not, I can't be discouraged when I'm around him, I'm learning from him as I'm watching him when he's faced with a difficult challenge. He smiles. He embraces the journey. So you've got to really be thinking about who are you associating with in those moments of discouragement, because they're either helping you get out of it or they're pushing you deeper into it.
Absolutely. And I would even go so far as, and I, obviously we all love spontaneity and we all would love to, you know, I love like spur of the moment type stuff. In fact, you and I have talked about this. Like we don't like to rehearse speeches or training too much because we want it to be spontaneous. And we don't want it to sound like we're reading, and I get all that stuff. And there's some downside to that part of it as well. But so we want to be spontaneous, but finding that person and making an agreement with that person ahead of time saying, listen, I need, when I reach out to you, this is what I'm reaching out to you about. I don't care what I say in the moment. What I need from you is X, right? And so if I call you and I'm, even if I say to you, I want you down in the dirt with me and to validate my frustrations and discouragement, don't do it. Like, I need you to be that person. Like, I'll go back to my TV. You know, I love TV, Friends, the TV show Friends. There was a guy named Fun Bobby, right? And so you see this episode, he's in a couple episodes, but Fun Bobby, as soon as they find out Fun Bobby's coming to town, they're like, oh, Fun Bobby. Oh, I can't believe Fun Bobby's going to be here. And oh, what's he going to do next? Remember that one time where we woke up and we were in a dumpster in Brooklyn? And oh, that was so, like, they were so excited just at the thought of being around Fun Bobby, right? Now, who is going to be our Fun Bobby in this conversation? Is who can I call to help kind of pull me out of this, right? Because you can't begin to pull yourself out and make change while you're living in discouragement. Because what happens is I get passed over for that thing, that the loaned executive at Vanguard for United Way, and I go into work on Monday and like, well, I guess I'll just keep doing this, and maybe next year they'll let me do it. And what good is going to come out of that kind of an attitude? Until I can pull myself and start moving out of that discouragement, I can't create real change. Like, okay, that didn't work out. Like, what other opportunities? Maybe there's some other way I can fill that need. Maybe there's some other training opportunities that I can do within the department. But that's after you get out of the discouragement. If you live in discouragement, you're going to continue to do things that feed that discouragement. You can't pull yourself out of discouragement by doing something different. You do something different because you've pulled yourself out of discouragement. It won't work. It just, because you're feeding this like malaise and this like, oh man, it didn't work out. And oh, Chad agrees with me. It did, yeah, you got ripped off, Francis. You're never going to, like, they're never going to treat you. You got to do something different. Yeah. And then you just, this echo chamber that's brutal. brutal.
Okay, but Francis, you bring up, you know what, you say, hey, listen, find somebody that you can connect to that will help you not stay in on that path of discouragement, right? But mm-hmm. if I were to ask all the listeners right now and the people in the community, I'd say, okay, who do you typically call when you're discouraged? I would guess that there are many people that would say, ooh, that person that allows me or even gives me permission to wallow in that discouragement, right?
Right. Not even allow and encourage. Yes. They encourage. Yes. You. Like they,
because,
yeah.
Because, you know, and many of us have heard the analogy of the crabs in the bucket, right? And people like to be yeah. in the bucket. And when the crab tries to escape, the other crabs will pull them down and say, listen, no, you are going to wallow in mediocrity here with us. So, you know what? So you got to be very selective in who you're reaching out to that's going to help pull yeah. you out, you know, of that discouragement, not the individual that's going to say, oh, you were wronged. Yes, you should be discouraged. Oh, you should be so frustrated, you know, and allow you to continue to stay in what you said, the easier path.
Yeah. And I don't want this to be a Dean Vitale appreciation podcast, but Dean, he was that manager at Vanguard that worked me through this. And one time I had an elevated phone call and this guy was so angry. And so Dean came to my desk and he's standing there and the guy, I can hear the guy yelling. And Dean's like, are you done? Like, do you want to spend your time with me? You finally got a manager. Do you want to spend all your time with me complaining about getting to me, or do you want us to fix your problem? And so like he wasn't going to allow that guy to continue to wallow and to continue to like, oh, I'm so sorry, sir. Yeah. We strive to be better. And all those things are nice. Those sentiments are nice. But he was really clear about like, okay, you've had your minute. You've had your time to be frustrated. Now, do we want to fix it or do you want to keep complaining about it? Because I'm happy to listen to you complain, but I'm going to have to leave here in a minute. So do you want solutions or do you want to wallow? And so, you know, letting them kind of be there in the moment and then say, okay, are you done? Because now it's time to move on and let's figure out something right. different, right? And so you have to be very intentional.
You do,
about
no
it,
question. And again, just to emphasize, everyone needs to be thinking about that, those individuals they've associated themselves with that are that can help them get out of that discouragement and not stay in it. You know what? So as you break down, as we break down discouragement, and how mm-hmm. we break out of it, the very first thing that we've outlined and talked about is very first thing is to acknowledge that, yes, you are going to be discouraged. Because I think the yeah. fact that if you continue to deny it, it actually just propels you deeper into it. And so first is just like, okay, I acknowledge it. I'm here. Right. And then the second is, who are you turning to? Who are you associating with to help you get out of it? And then yeah. number three, Francis, after you do those two steps, what is the third step they then take to make sure that they don't wallow in that discouragement?
I think the third thing for me, I think I would recommend, first of all, don't return to it. Like, don't go back to it. But then you start working on what you can do, right? Because something has to fill that void, right? So I'm discouraged, I'm frustrated, great. You're not just going to stop being discouraged. It has to be replaced with something that's encouraging, right? So if I say, I didn't get that loan to executive, and you say, well, Francis, is it possible that there are other opportunities? You know what? I think right. that's true. It could. So then an encouragement. So it's to shift that mindset from, we've talked about it ad nauseum and all the things we do together. Are we living in a world of plenty
abundance.
Of like, there's lots of abundance. Thank you. I was searching for the word of abundance. Or are we in a world of scarcity? Right. If we're in a world of abundance, we're like, okay, then if that didn't work out, then there must be something else that's even
right.
better for me. Right. And so that's what I'm really focused on is what is this thing that could be better for me? And that, so it's shifting that into what could be next, right? Because you're living in that, we want a pity party and we want to live there. We want to stay there. And so really shifting to what's next and what is that encouraging piece. And that's part of the person you're talking to as well. You know, you mentioned that idea of having that person. One of my favorite people on the planet is a woman named Elizabeth Pitt. She did first coaching with me, and she's the one that sent me to that training. And she's a great coach. Do you know what every great coach has, Chad?
What's that?
A coach. And just because you are someone who does this or feels this way doesn't mean you aren't going to have problems as well. And so finding someone to coach with, whether it's a friend, whether it's someone that you like hire as a coach, like if you have the wherewithal, the means to do it, strongly recommend a life coach, a business coach, something, because coaches don't give you the answers. That's what people, they think they go to a coach. They're not mentors, right? They're coaches. They're there to help you come up with the answer. Because if Chad, if I come to you and say, Chad, I need some advice. What should I do about this? And you say, Francis, you should apply for this other job. What happens if it doesn't work out, Chad?
Right.
Whose fault?
Right. It's mine. Yeah.
It's your fault. Right. Whereas if you say, well, what other options are out there for you? Well, I could look for this other thing. What would be the benefit of doing that? Well, I could maybe have better hours. I could maybe do this. And well, what are the disadvantages? So then I do it and it doesn't work out. Then who's responsible for that decision?
Right.
I am. Right. I made it. So anyway, so this idea of finding the right people, I wanted to circle back to that. But yeah, so that's a big part for me.
But finding those right people, those people that will help coach you along the way, also help lead you to that third step that you're talking about, taking action. Like, you want people around you that are going to help drive you towards action. Mm-hmm. Because when you think about the word discouragement is placing you in a reactive state, meaning you're sitting there thinking that life is happening to you, not happening for you. And so you're totally so reactive. But if you acknowledge it, then you're associating with those people, right? That are coaching you, guiding you, encouraging you, right? Because when I reference Randy Rogers, he's constantly coaching me, but he's not even really directly coaching me. He's coaching me by his behavior, which is inspiring me to then take action. And then when I'm moving and I'm directing my behavior, then I don't then have the time to continue to stay in that discouraged state.
Yeah, I love that, the idea, the concept of reactive and proactive, right? Like getting out in front of it. You know, when I was young, Tetris was a big deal. Everyone played Tetris, right? Game Boy, right? And when it's slower, people who are successful at Tetris, and I know I don't want to equate life to a game, but when people who are successful at Tetris are not reacting to the things that are coming, they're proactive on where they put things. You think about when you lose Tetris, it's because you're busy trying to react, and eventually you can't anymore. It comes too fast. Until you can get out in front of it, you can't be successful, right? And those that do are. And so that for me, that's the big takeaway for me. Like, one of the reasons I love these podcasts is because I learn so much just from us having conversations, but the reactive nature of disappointment and living in disappointment is massive for me. And so thank you so much for bringing that up, because that is critical.
Well, and the reality is every step of life, every stage of life that we're in, hopefully we're just getting a little bit better. And it's not to say, like you started the podcast with, it's not like discouragement is going to be gone and you're never going to have discouragement and disappointment ever again. It's just an unrealistic expectation. However, your ability to navigate it should improve every day, every year, every day of your life. You're getting better at it.
Right. And the good news is the more you do it, the easier it does get. I mean, it's like anything else. Like, the more you do it, I saw a show once, and I think one of the main characters was like, okay, I'm giving myself 5 seconds to be frustrated or angry or scared. And so there was something that happened. I think it was a show called The Night Agent, whatever. But she's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And she's like, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then she looks up and she's like, okay, now what am I going to do about it? Like, giving yourself that time to be like human and then saying, okay, now that's over. Now I'm going to take action. Obviously that's a little formulaic and it's Hollywood, whatever, but the principle is the same. Like, it's okay, but the longer you wallow, the less you're going to get done, the less opportunities you're going to have, the worse off you're going to be. You're going to feel terrible. You're going to look terrible. I mean, you're going to look miserable. You're going to feel miserable. Like, it's like, I love what you said about the guy, I don't remember his name, but the one you quoted earlier, like he's talks like he's smiling and he's got a laugh in his voice. Like, that is not pretend. Right. Like, he has learned how to move past it. But I promise you, if you sat down and said, have you ever had discouragements? He would be like, every day I get discouraged by things. Every day.
But how are you approaching it? And so are you first, as just we wrap up, Francis, and love what yep. you shared here today. First is acknowledge the discouragement's not going away. You're going to have discouragement sometime in your life. You're going to have disappointments. That's just part of life. There's no way to avoid it. However, if we first acknowledge that, oh man, that was discouraging, that was difficult, but then associating with people, the right people to get you out of that, the right people that are going to strengthen and support you so you don't stay there and then drive you to that third piece is action, taking action so that you're proactive and really taking the steps to where you can climb back out of that and reach an even higher peak as you're moving forward.
Absolutely.
Francis, love spending time with you. Love what you shared. Discouragement, it's there. Most people stay in it, but not those who listen to this podcast, not those who are enrolled in the academy. We get out of it. Have a tremendous day, Francis. We'll see you all later. Bye now.
See ya. Bye, everyone.